This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you, Randy. Now in Ag News here on a Monday morning. USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue is telling the country that the nation's food supply system remains strong thanks to the continuing efforts of farmers to grocery store stockers and everyone in between. But Perdue wants to be sure consumers have that food supply intact while the coronavirus threat is affecting day-to-day life.
We don't want to have to panic next fall because we don't have enough food. We've got some supply chain issues, or really demand issues right now. We don't want to have supply chain, and we don't.
Among the challenges ahead for the food system, Perdue Ag economist Dr. Jim Mintert says adapting is high on the list.
I agree with Sonny Perdue. In the short run, we don't have a supply chain problem. But it is a big shift, and especially when you think about the meat industry. We're moving a tremendous amount of demand for meat away from the hotel, restaurant, and institutional trade into the retail grocery store trade, and that's a big shift, not only in terms of where people pick that food up, but also in terms of the types of products that are typically demanded in a retail grocery store versus what's demanded in that hotel, restaurant, institutional trade.
He said processors weren't prepared for such a shift in demand, but are now making adjustments and in many cases scrambling to do so. Adjustments include changing cutting lines, changing management of cold storage facilities, and possibly even working with different wholesalers.
Those changes are taking place as we speak, but the good news, I think, from a producer perspective is those products are still in demand, and that's true here in the U.S. as well as elsewhere around the world.
But, playing devil's advocate, what if coronavirus enters the meat processing workforce? Can the food supply continue and be safely?
USDA, I think, has taken some steps along with the processors to try and ensure that those facilities would remain open. I think they're probably working through some of those procedures right now. One of the concerns I know initially was what would happen if meat inspectors happened to contract the virus and couldn't work and had to go into some sort of a quarantine. USDA is taking some steps to make sure that they can backstop around the country meat inspectors to keep the meat inspection service operational. So certainly in the short run, I don't see a problem.
But livestock producers are nonetheless feeling the pressure. Cattle and hog prices on the futures market have collapsed in recent days, much more so than cash prices. Mintert says cash prices are a better indication of producers for what's going on here in the short term. Mintert, again, is director of the Perdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture. The Department of Homeland Security affirmed last week just how important agriculture is to the U.S., especially during a pandemic like the coronavirus outbreak. DHS says public health, law enforcement, food and agriculture, defense, and 12 other industries are critical and should keep to their usual work schedules to help respond to the outbreak. The guidance from DHS is designed to help limit potential confusion as some state and local governments implement various curfews or bans on large gatherings to slow the spread of coronavirus. Over 60 groups that represent the food, beverage, and consumer packaged goods asked for uniform guidance on what businesses are exempt from those restrictions. The National Council of Farmer Cooperatives applauded the move, saying, quote, "As we face an unprecedented crisis, Americans will continue to be able to find nutritious food on store shelves. It also provides much-needed assurance for our farmers as planting season gets underway." A release from the NCFC says, quote, "America's co-ops and their farmer owners stand ready to play their part in the nation's food supply chain. As we've seen so many times in American history, our farmers and ranchers will rise to meet the challenge." Grocery store shelves will soon be stocked with meat supplies and meat products in another week or so. Politico says that announcement comes from Tyson Foods CEO Noel White after a recent surge in demand for meat products. The U.S. has ample food supply for those staying home under social distancing policies. White says Tyson has made changes to its processing facilities to increase supply for grocery stores instead of restaurants. Quote, once we are able to replenish supplies, which is probably going to take another week or so, then I think we'll be back in better equilibrium between supply and demand, White said. Grocery stores meat orders were significantly higher than usual through last week after demand began to shift away from restaurants. Slaughterhouses are running at maximum capacity even on weekends. The North American Meat Institute, which represents major meat packers, says the industry is taking steps to keep operations running at normal or increased capacity. Companies are also enhancing benefits like paid sick leave and access to health care to treat or detect the virus. Some of the enhancements include waiving copays or deductibles. Moving on now into row crops for Ag News here on your Monday. Many ethanol plants have cut their production over the last week, or they've entirely shut down as the coronavirus outbreak cuts into fuel consumption. Reuters says the drop in consumption at the pump has hit margins to refine the corn-based fuel hard. Renewable Fuels Association Chief Executive Jeff Cooper says he expects ethanol production to fall even further. He's asking the Environmental Protection Agency to ease the strain on the industry by not granting any more small refinery waivers from the nation's biofuels mandate. The coronavirus spread has disrupted business, travel, and daily life. Governments around the world are urging people to stay indoors to help limit the potential spread of the outbreak, which has put a big damper on fuel demand. Margins to produce ethanol have dropped considerably, causing plants to begin looking at a combination of shutdowns and layoffs. An ethanol refiner from Claremont, Minnesota, says they're doing everything they can to make sure they'll weather and survive the economic storm. Quote, but it's definitely going to be ugly. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association Vice President of Government Affairs, Ethan Lane, says NCBA has been working hard to help cattle producers throughout the challenges of COVID-19. Quote, as the country reels both economically and emotionally from the spread of the virus, we have worked hard to ensure that cattle producers remain able to focus on the national infrastructure priority of keeping high-quality beef available to consumers. Lane also says meeting the challenge requires federal officials at the Departments of Agriculture, Transportation, Interior, Treasury, and more to have full understanding of how their product gets from the pasture to the plate, and his organization is happy to tell that story. He says COVID-19 has dealt a challenging hand to producers across the country. The resulting highly volatile market can't be allowed to force America's ranching families out of business just when consumers need them the most. In order to combat this burden, NCBA has actively engaged leaders in the U.S. House and Senate to ensure that the relief funds from any aid package reach these struggling cattle producers directly. The NCBA says it is important that any relief efforts avoid the lasting market-altering effect of price support program, which some members of the Senate have advocated for. In other ag news here on your Monday, one of the major headlines that has popped up in this COVID-19 crisis is that many hospitals do not have enough ventilators or respirators for all the patients that need one. Medical workers are using N95 particulate respirators to mask themselves from the virus. The potential shortage will have a trickle-down effect on agriculture, says Dr. Mark Stevenson of the University of Wisconsin.
N95 respirators that are being used, and they're also used on farms, and particularly as we think about people who are trying to get into some of the grain that was harvested to sell. You know, there have been recommendations for the use of respirators just because the grain is really dusty and last fall's harvest was not optimal. And, you know, so we want to make sure that farm workers are protected. But at the same time, we want to make sure that people aren't trying to buy and hoard that kind of equipment that's needed all over the place.
Stevenson says that though he is concerned about the lack of respirators when it comes to getting into grain bins, making sure medical facilities have enough equipment is the number one priority at this time. Farmer groups aiming to avoid disrupting the meat supply during the COVID-19 pandemic and conversations continue with packing plants and government officials as part of a strategy to keep grocery meat cases stocked. That's according to Illinois Beef Association Executive Vice President Jill Johnson.
So that has been the item that we have definitely spent the most time on and put the most emphasis on with our State Department of Agriculture. We've been in contact with Director Costello. He's reached out as well, wanting to make sure we're having continuing conversations about this scenario and what he can relay back to the governor and the governor's staff. But he, in particular, referenced meat inspectors and has already communicated to the governor that is an essential service. And then packing plants, of course, have been number one on our priority list. So we would not want to be in a situation where we see plant closures or, a halt to transportation. And we have no indication that is going to happen, but are stressing the importance of that absolutely, as a change in that scenario would be devastating to our producers. But so far, our conversations there are definitely being heard and understood how important our packer and transportation abilities are moving forward.
Increased retail demand for meat has offset drops in the number of people eating out due to the statewide restaurant closure. In fact, grocery stores sell out as quickly as they can refill their meat cases. High demand isn't necessarily translating to higher income for farmers, however. In fact, doubts cast by the coronavirus outbreak have weighed down the prices farmers receive. Market prices for both hogs and cattle are down at least 30% since the beginning of this year. And moving on into other local ag news here on your Monday, Chris Reynolds, president of the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Foundation, is pleased to announce the 2020-2021 scholarship recipients from the County Farm Bureau. On March 10th, Foundation judges reviewed the applications for the scholarship program and were pleased with the quality of applications they received. Six scholarships were then chosen in the amount of $2,000, and those were awarded. On behalf of the Foundation Board, President Reynolds would like to thank every student who applied and wishes them success as they continue their educational and professional endeavors. The County Farm Bureau Board of Directors encourages students to apply for the scholarship program for next year's school year. The application process will be open online at montcofb.com beginning on December 1st of this year. Three of the six scholarship winners are current high school seniors here in Montgomery County. Those include Alexa Cassidy, who attends Nokomis, Wesley Stockstill, who attends Hillsboro, and Clayton Walsh, who attends Litchfield High School. The other three of the six also now attend college around the Midwest, and they also all live in Montgomery County. Grace Anderson attends University of Missouri Columbia, and she's one of the six recipients of the scholarship, along with Cody Nodal, who attends Lakeland College in Mattoon, and Peyton Tester, who attends the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. So congratulations to those six on their future endeavors in the ag industry as they go to college for a education in agriculture. And that's all I have for you on this Monday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, or I guess any cancellations at this time of an ag event, those items can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Monday morning, March 23rd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.